Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your title with the album.
Bill Straw, Blick Street Records.
And we're here talking Ava Cassidy's iconic jazz album, Live at Blues Alley, which was recorded here in Washington, D.C. In 1996. So, of course, I think it was one of her last, and maybe her, was it her last public performance?
I'm sure she had public performances after that, but not many. It was her last major public performance.
Right. And explain why that was. I mean, we tragically lost her at such a young age. And then, you know, where her posthumous passing, her music, you know, blew up even more, even after her passing.
Well, she developed a sore hip and finally went to a doctor. It turned out she had a broken hip, and turned out that she had metastatic melanoma. And so she underwent chemo and the whole thing. And it just, the last part, the Blues Alley was January 2nd and 3rd of 96. And she passed on November 2nd of 96. So it was not long.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. She sadly died at melanoma at age 33.
Yeah. The album came out late spring. And did very well locally. You know, they were, I think somebody said that it was the largest consignment record the local Tower Records had ever had.
Wow.
And she slipped away. She continued to do some recording. She was working on what became the Eva by Heart album, which was released about a year after she passed.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Songbird as well was the big compilation CD. I think it hit number one, at least in Britain.
And was right. Well, when we got involved, really, about a year after she died to the day, really, or I think one day off, we entered into an agreement with her parents to market her. And the plan had always been to do a kind of an anthology, because she had Blues Alley, she had quite a few, there was a solo tracks that went on Eva by Heart. There was her version of Over the Rainbow, which had been on her duet album with Chuck Brown called The Other Side. That had come out in 92. So we figured we had a one-time chance to load up and create a super album on an unknown artist. And the plan, if you can call anything a plan, until after it works, is that it would be a strong enough album that the people that initially got on board would still be there when it hit critical mass. And we figured that would take a couple of years. It turned out it took about 2.5 years.
Right, right, right. Well, talk about why we're reissuing the Live at Blues Alley album. I mean, it's obviously it's the anniversary. What are we at? Is it 35th anniversary? 25th anniversary, 96. Yeah, 25th right. Anniversary. You know, why should our listener, it comes out December 3rd. So it's coming out just in time for the holidays. Why should our listeners maybe pick this up for maybe a Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer, that kind of thing?
Well, people like anniversaries, so it's the natural thing to do. It wasn't something we'd been planning on for a long time, but the market kind of told us that we should do that. And it was an opportunity to honor what's become an enduring achievement. So we had to, we remastered all of the recordings, and the technology's gotten a lot better, so it sounds a lot better.
Definitely.
And we created a much better package, and we released it on vinyl for the first time, and it's the vinyl is actually 45 RPM, so it's a double disc vinyl record. And acceptance that it's gotten out of the box is actually quite surprising. You do these things and you really don't know what's going to happen. You do it because you should do it, and occasionally it works out. So there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of people are hearing it for the first time. Eva, in the last 25 years, has become a legacy artist of sorts, which means that each new generation discovers her. So a lot of the people that had records that broke at the same time she did have kind of disappeared. And she hasn't. And that's a testament to the quality of her work.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be nice to hear the quality of the work in best quality remastered. It's going to be great. Well, remind our listeners some of the, you know, some of the tracks on that album. You know, maybe some people haven't heard it in a while, or maybe they've never heard it. Maybe they're just discovering her music. But remind them, you know, some of the famous songs and some of the famous artists that she covers on there.
Well, it starts with an opening track is Cheek to Cheek, which everybody has done.
Oh, Irving Berlin from the Fred Astaire days. Top hat.
Exactly. So she covers a little jazz. She does a couple of other numbers of that ilk. So she Blue Skies. There's an Irving Berlin tune for you.
Yeah.
And she covers People Get Ready.
Curtis Mayfield.
A guy from Chicago, Curtis Mayfield. It's filled with classic songs. And they recorded 32, 33 songs that night. So there's only 12 songs from Blues Alley on the Live at Blues Alley album. And she insisted on adding a studio track she'd worked on, which is a Pete Seeger song called Oh Had I a Golden Thread. So she did she did her version of that folk song to end the album. And the rest of the stuff kind of lay dormant for quite a few years. And then in 2015, we released an album called Nightbird. And that was the unabridged Blues Alley recording. Those recordings are the backbone of her career. There was a lot of studio things that she'd done with Chris Biondo over time, her longtime producer, bass player. But without that Blues Alley backbone, I doubt if there had been enough to really build a career.
Talk about why Blues Alley was such a special place for Cassidy, because, remind our listeners, you know, she was born right here in D.C. This is her hometown.
Well, she was born in the D.C. area. She lived was living in Bowie, Maryland, at the time of the Blues Alley and the time of her passing. I think they moved, the family moved there when she was maybe 8, 9 years old.
I'm seeing that she was born at Washington Hospital Center in D.C., but grew up in Oxon Hill and later Bowie, Maryland. So, yeah, it sounds like she was born, you know, as an infant in D.C., but, you know, her formative years growing up in Maryland, yeah.
Yeah, she was, she worked in clubs and venues all over the D.C. area. So it was definitely her home market. But she was not that well known at the time of her passing. She had... She had appeared at various WAMA events and performed live, so people were aware of her from that. Their people had seen her in clubs, but until they released, she got a certain amount of notice with the Chuck Brown album, but it was Blues Alley where people started to get the full-on dose. And that record was doing very well in the 6 months or so it was out before she passed.
Wow.
But
yeah.
Before that, she was relatively unknown, although she was local.
Wow. And you were saying earlier in the interview that it was there at Blues Alley when she started noticing, you know, the stiffness in her hips, and she thought it was from, you know, maybe, you know, overexerting herself or whatever, but it was actually
I don't know whether it was the night of Blues Alley, but it was in that general time frame.
Okay, cool.
And the thing is, she'd been playing a lot of clubs, and she, as it turns out, had a huge worldwide audience, but they weren't necessarily the audience that goes to clubs. So although she was playing in front of a lot of audiences in D.C. area, she wasn't really connecting with what would become her audience after she passed.
Wow. And is it also true? I think I read shortly after the Blues Alley Live at Blues Alley album, and that performance. Didn't she also have like a benefit concert at the Bayou in Georgetown?
Well, the benefit concert was not that long before she passed away. Mm-hmm. A matter of weeks before she passed away.
Wow.
So they organized a benefit concert for her, and she actually performed Wonderful World at that concert. So that was her last public performance.
Talk about what, I mean, I don't know if you were in the room, but at least try to imagine what it would have been like sitting there. I mean, tears must have been streaming down the faces knowing that, you know, I mean, that choosing that song to go out on. Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I was not involved at that time. I had heard of her, and another one of our artists had sent me the Blues Alley, a cassette of the Blues Alley album. And I thought about going in to meet her. I didn't know whether we would be involved or not at that point. I didn't know if her family would even want to put out the music. But it seemed a little weird to me. I mean, she was surrounded by friends and family, and to have strangers coming in, it felt a little creepy. And I'm sorry that I didn't do it, but it just didn't feel like the right thing to do.
Right, right. I hear you on that. Well, you're right. So, you know, she passed away November 2nd, 1996, shortly after recording that. And her ashes were scattered up at St. Mary's River Watershed Park up in St. Mary's County. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, her career and stuff. But before we dive into what made her, you know, musically, what made her so special? I mean, you know, there's so many famous musicians that have come through Blues Alley. But, you know, what about her musically and her voice and her playing?
Well, she's simply put one of the best pop singers ever. So it was the sheer artistry. And coupled with that, if she had not even been a singer, but if she had decided to go into music as an instrumentalist or whatever, she had such a incredible musical intelligence and ear. She could have been a force in music if she never sang a note, just in terms of choosing and arranging material and mixing and matching different aspects of the American songbook and beyond. And she, impeccable taste. She had an incredible voice, but she didn't feel it was necessary to use every note in her range on every song. So it was a perfect storm of a fantastic instrument, incredible knowledge of what she was doing, and tasteful enough that she didn't overdo things. So it was you don't often get that in one person. And she was so insistent on doing things the way that she knew they should be done, that she didn't come under a lot of outside influence that a lot of artists do, and she didn't end up doing a lot of things that she would later be sheepish about. So you just don't get that level of talent is incredibly rare. And, and you know, she was both an artist, and a lot of times artists are so subtle that they go over the head of an audience full of what they would call in the UK punters. But she had that heart in her music that connected with audiences, whether they were musicians or not. But she also was a very influential musician singer.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Again, everybody, it's Eva Cassidy's classic album, Live at Blues Alley. It's coming out December 3rd to commemorate the 25th anniversary of both that album and her tragic passing. So
thank you, Jason.